Well, thank you, Brother Tony. It's good to be back again this evening and to see you here in the tabernacle. And I thank the Lord for this number of preachers who are here tonight. That's wonderful. It shows your love of the camp meeting and your support. And that's always great. And just a joy to come together. But let's open our Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2. I hope that you will pray for us as we seek to preach the word of the Lord. We certainly need his help. Galatians chapter 2. Let's begin our reading with verse number 16, where we find these words, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. My title this evening would be in the form of a question: what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Let's reread verse number 20 and notice how it switches within this verse from the negative, you might say, to the positive. He says, "I am crucified with Christ." In other words, I'm dead. "Nevertheless, I live." And then he goes on to say, "Yet not I," it's not me living, "but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What is a Christian? Well, we could get a lot of answers to that question. And you could put all the correct ones together and still not have a complete portrait of a child of God. And why is this so? Well, it's because we do not know a lot about the end. It's not over yet. We have some things revealed to us in the Word of God, but God is not through with us yet. And I bless His name. One would have to see the beginning from the end to give a complete answer. But there are some things we do know because the Bible reveals them unto us. A Christian is a person who possesses many new things. Many new things. Things he did not have before God saved his soul. Now let's think of that. And I want to show you four of those things with the help of the Lord. Beginning with, a Christian is one who possesses a new position. Paul states, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live." Now, I understand that this text, this verse number 20, is in a context that concerns, for the most part, justification. And he uses that word justified through some of these verses. But just hang with me for a minute. It's a position of sanctification. And as you know, sanctification is being set apart. But the question is then, when and how were we set apart? Well, every child of God is crucified with Christ. We're crucified with Christ. In other words, we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and rose again in the Lord Jesus. Now, that sets every child of God apart from where and from what he used to be. You were on the other side. God reached down in grace and brought you across. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. You're not what you used to be, but neither are you where you used to be. We have a whole new position in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're set apart in Him, sanctified forever in the Lord Jesus. Now, this has been accomplished completely and thoroughly. In other words, as far as our standing goes, there is no forthcoming work. I'm saved, that's it. I'm saved eternally. I'm saved thoroughly by the grace of God. I am positioned in the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places, and nothing can change that. Amen. We need to think on just where we are every now and then, and let that bless us. That also is a position of security. For a Christian to get lost, have you ever thought about that? For a Christian to get lost, the work of our Lord, which is described as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or described in that, that would have to be reversed. Think about it. I mean, it took a divine work to get you over to the side that you're on now, and it would take a divine work to reverse that. And God just ain't going to do it. Amen. He's not going to do it. He saved you. He sealed you in Christ Jesus. And there are not enough imps in hell to change it. And God said, I'm not going to change it. You're mine forever. So you might as well get used to it. Amen. Nothing can change that. I think it'd help a lot of us Baptists realize that we're saved for good. I mean, God did a thorough work when He saved our soul. And He's not going to reverse that. That is sure. Can you see that in reverse? Could you see the resurrection and then the burial and so forth, then the death of... Listen, that is not going to happen. We're saved. You and I have a new position in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then secondly, the Christian is one who possesses a new provision. A new provision. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We do have a new life, and that new life is none other than the Lord Jesus living in us by the person of the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure glad that He does. Christ living in me is an enabling provision. The law made demands, but the law didn't give the strength to fulfill what God was demanding. But you see, it's a different story now that Christ lives within us. You say, I just can't live the Christian life. Well, there's a sense in which you're not supposed to. Amen. There is such a thing as yielding unto Him and allowing Him to live His life in you. We'll say more about that in a moment. But He is an enabling provision. Christ in me enables me to live a victorious Christian life. Now some of you better listen closely, because even though you're saved and you know that, you also know that you're not living victoriously. You can and you should as the child of God. Listen, victory, it might be that you're not seeking the right thing. Victory is not some abstract work that God does in me. It's the life of Christ in me by power. That's living victoriously. Listen, we yield ourselves to Him. Now, listen, think about it. We can reign in life by one Christ Jesus. That's the Word of God. And I know if you're in that place where you're not experiencing victory, understand a couple of things here. One is, as I said, it's not some abstract work altogether that God does in you. He doesn't break off a little chunk of victory and put it in you. Christ is our victory. And if He lives in you, the victory's already there. You just need to get the place to recognize it. Yield yourself and let God fulfill that in you. The life of Christ lived out in us brings that freedom from deadening sins. I'm not saying that you'll never sin again, but I'll tell you one thing, brother, it won't be like it was if Jesus Christ lives in you in the power of His victory. And I want to tell you, when you stumble and fall, if that happens, and the devil begins to ride your case and say, yeah, where's your victory now? Point him to the right hand of the Father. That's where your victory is. He's your victory, and I have to claim it that way a lot of times. I don't always feel victorious. I don't always have the victory that I should have as far as my experience is concerned, but I always have victory because I have Christ living within me. He is our victory. Realize that. Watchman Nee wrote a book, and it's called Sit, Walk, and Stand. And he's saying there's really no walking, really no standing. He uses the book of Ephesians. And he said, until you realize that you're seated in Christ, that Christ also is in you. What a difference that makes. Some Christians act like, God save me, and then turn it over to me. And I've just got to do everything just right and this and that. Listen, my friend, you can have liberty. You can enjoy freedom in Christ Jesus, but you've got to recognize Him. Amen. He lives in you. He is your provision. He's also Christ living in me also enables virtue. Now, apart from Christ in us, there is no real virtue. No, I'm using the word in the sense of goodness. There's really no goodness. Listen, you say, well, boy, there wasn't any good in me before I was saved. I've got news for you. There's still no good in you as far as yourself is concerned. You say, I don't like for you to talk down to me like that. Hey, I'm in the same boat. That's a hard lesson for some of us to learn, but it is the truth. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We read that to you. How true that is. And God sometimes will allow us to fail and to fail and to fail until we realize that He's our good. Christ Jesus is our virtue. Some of you could enjoy your Christian life if you'd quit trying to live up to your own standard. Amen. Your own little list of rules. You know, people say, well, I'm not under the law. Yeah, you are. You just made it yourself. That's the difference. Oh, you can't live like that. Listen, there's freedom. There's joy in the Christian life when we realize that Christ is our victory, and then not only an enabling provision, but an enhancing provision. Because I want to tell you something. There is no beauty about us apart from Christ in us. Does God ever let you see your fleshly side? I don't like to see that direction to you. I don't like seeing that, but it's necessary. And every now and then you'll have some thought or you'll do something that's really not you and so forth. That's just God opening things up and reminding you that there's no good in us. I didn't say it's all right to cuss. I didn't say it's all right to drink or anything like that. I'm just simply saying the flesh is bad enough without you doing those things. But we're reminded that we're human and we have no beauty. But aren't you glad that our God said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. Aren't you glad? Listen, there is a beauty about every child of God. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, he's living in me. I want it to be seen. He has provided for that. The Holy Ghost lives in us, and as we yield our lives to Him, He produces the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, we don't have to go around simply trying to act like Christians so people will think, well, it was just live right. Be yourself and let God live in you and live through you. That'll be beautiful. We all have different personalities. Amen. I'm sure glad I'm not like Tony. Yeah. My personality is my own. I mean, I'm a crump from way back. And you don't know much about them, and I'm not going to tell you much because most of it's not any good. But I'll tell you one thing, God makes the difference. And He puts a beauty upon us. And I bless His wonderful name. We try to dress the outside or dress up the outward man and everything and present ourselves. That's a little bit of hypocrisy. Why don't we just let the Lord live in us and live through us? I've known some very cantankerous Christians. But they had God on their life. And you say, well, I couldn't get along with somebody like that. Yeah, you can if you have the same interests, that is for sure. Galatians makes it clear that law keeping for acceptance with God, either before or after you're saved, listen, it only brings out the flesh and its ugliness. Have you ever seen people trying to live by the law after God had saved them? I'm telling you, they're hard to put up with. They are. I mean, honest to goodness, they drag out their little list of rules against you. They don't know the first thing about Christian liberty. As Paul lays it out in the Word of God, they judge every little move you make, every little thing you do, because they don't realize, I mean, they're children, and they don't realize that there is such a thing as Christian liberty, that it's not a list of laws. No, it's Christ living in us. Now, bless His name. Oh, listen. But then, thirdly, a Christian is one who possesses a new principle. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Did you notice what it said? And I'm not going into this. It's just something for you to think about. He didn't say, I live by faith in the Son of God, although that's true. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And if you'll let that sink in, that'll get a hold of you, brother. I live by the faith of the Son of God. We possess a new principle. A living by faith means a life of refusal. For one thing, Paul refused to be brought back under the bondage of law keeping. He says, I'm not going to do it, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You can't live unto God by keeping the law. You can't do it. And Paul, everywhere he went, he refused to let people put him under the law. He broke that news to us. Aren't you glad for Paul's epistles? Oh, my friend, what they do for the life of a Christian and his spirituality. Listen, the law genders nothing but bondage. That's why some of you can't be happy though you're saved. You're trying to live under the law. It just genders bondage. Oh, the gospel brings us into life, into liberty, and into love. You say, preacher, don't you believe in sin? Probably more than most of you. I really do. But I don't believe we have to bring the law in just to keep us from sinning. No, no, no. Listen, if there's not something in you that lets you know what's right and what's wrong, you need to go back by Calvary, because I believe you missed it the first time. I know we have the principles and precepts of God's Word, and we're to honor that. But I also know that those things are kept in the power of the Spirit of God living in us. Oh, to enjoy that freedom, that liberty. Listen, there is a type, I say a type, of spiritual death into which even a saved person may revert when they're trying to live under the law. I said a type. I didn't say you lost your salvation. No, that's impossible. We've established that. But I'll tell you, there is a type of old spiritual death that works in and through you as you try to keep the law for sanctification or acceptance with God. At the end of the day, I hope you pray. I hope you pray through the day also. But at the end of the day, how do you approach God? You say, well, preacher, I think of all my wrongs and what I've done and this and that. Well, that's good. You need to repent. You need to confess your sins unto the Lord. But I read something even today by one of the old Puritans, William Bridge. And he said, we defeat ourselves in prayer so many times. Because he said, we go through this long list of sins. And he said, we should, if that's what we're guilty of, he said, we should. But he said, the place to start is Christ and the cross of Calvary where Jesus died. How true that is. I went down to my building after I read that. And I knelt down and I told the Lord, I am so guilty of what this man has said. I said, Lord, I always thought that I had to get all that out of the way. It's like the Holy Ghost breaks in on my soul and say, I've already got it out of the way. Amen. He said, I just want you to confess it. And I started my prayer trying to honor Him and thanking Him for what He did on the cross and what He did with me, and that I was crucified with Him and risen unto newness of life. Now no longer live unto the flesh or live unto sin, but the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but that could mean, that very well could mean that the faith you and I have is the same faith that Jesus exercised in His manhood on this earth. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Think about that. Same type of faith He put in you that He lived by when He was on this earth. You say, but He's God. Yes, but He lived as man on this earth. And He lived by faith. And He obeyed God and served the Lord. And Paul is saying, and he says it twice in the verses that I read to you, that we live by the faith of the Son of God. Hey, that's good, isn't it? That's good. You don't have a different kind of faith. No. But then living by faith is not only a life of refusal, but it's a life of receiving. Just think of the peace, the power, the joy, and so much more that comes to the one who lives by faith. Living by the faith of the Son of God, a person receives into his or her life the very riches of God's grace. Now you want that. You desire that as a child of God. And here's the way to have it. Living by faith. Not trying to keep the law so you can please God, but living by faith. And friend, you'll begin to enjoy God's goodness and God's grace and the riches of it in your soul. Brother, that's wonderful. Listen, living by faith is also a life of responsibility. Are we contradicting what we have already said? No, not at all. You notice Paul did say, the life which I now live. He said, it's Christ living in me. But he identified himself and his own personality. And he says, it's the life that I live. I live. Yes, it's Christ living in you. But don't you think for a second that that sets aside your will and your desires. We're not ultimatums where the Lord moved in and we're just out of the picture altogether. Listen, it's all of God. I understand that. I wouldn't take a thing away from that. But if you think that we're just to be passive, listen, my friend, you do have a will. You're saved and God has quickened your will if you are saved. Brother, it's not just going to happen unless you want it to happen. You get up and you say, well, I'm going to live for God today. I'm turning everything over to Him so I don't have to worry about a thing. And if you're not careful, you'll be cussing for long. Amen. You have a determination within you. Now, it has to be quickened, and it does have to be empowered by God Himself. I understand that. I cannot do it without Him, and it's not just Him helping me along, but brother, we must depend upon Him, look to Him for strength, but you've got to be willing. A lot of people say, I need grace, but the question is, are you willing to receive the grace of God? Are you willing to receive it? Say, well, I want to live right today. Well, you can. And God can enable you by His grace. But if you think you can't do wrong just because God saved you one day, you've got another thought coming. Christians are messing up everywhere. And they think, well, I'm saved. I thought God was going to do all of this. Well, He'll enable you. He will enable you. There's plenty of divine strength. There is a spiritual renewal day by day according to the Word of God. There is the fullness of the Spirit that we've about forgotten in our day. Yes, God can live in you and live in you in power that you must be willing for Him to do that. Amen. The Bible says that He works within us both to do and to will of His good pleasure. That is for sure. But He doesn't do that apart from us. Paul said, I'm the one living, Christ living in me, but the life that I now live. Think of that. But then last of all, a Christian is one who possesses a new propellant. You know what a propellant is? It's a driving force. Listen to me. Paul's statement, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. There is your propellant if you're a child of God. And I say it's a personal propellant. He said, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that tonight? You say, well, I'm so glad God so loved the world. I am too. But I'm glad He loved me. I'm glad He loved me. I'm glad He died for me. I'm glad that I can stand here tonight and say that I'm saved by God's grace. Aren't you? He loved me. It's a personal propellant. Some folks, they're all right as long as they're caught up in the movements of the church. Well, I guess some folks are learning by now that you can't ride on that coattail too long. No. You've got to have God, and you've got to have something propel you, and there may be different motivations, and there are, but I don't know of one greater than that Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. I was lost. I was undone. I was headed for hell just as sure as we're here tonight. I had no way how to come out of it. I could not buy myself out. No, but the Lord loved me and came where I was at and saved me. A miracle of miracles. And I bless His name. And you don't have to have been an awful, low-down, wine-bibbing, dope-smoking sinner to be able to testify to that. We're all in the same boat. It took grace to save us. Amen. I was brought up in church. And if you'd have talked to my mama up to that point, she'd have probably said I was an angel, but I knew better. And I was 9 years old, but when the Lord saved me, I knew I was a sinner. And I can rejoice today as you go, if you're saved young, then as you go along, you realize and you understand more and more about the fact of what a sinner was and what a sinner is. We call those mean people sinners, low-down sinners. That's what I was as a 9-year-old before God saved me. That's why I can rejoice in that He loved me and gave Himself for me. It's a personal propellant. It's a powerful propellant. Paul said, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, from the Damascus Road to Nero's chop block, Paul never got over that. Amen. Paul was still thrilled. He couldn't get over it. I wouldn't doubt when they let him out to remove his head from his body, if that wasn't the thought in Paul's mind. He loved me. Oh, my soul. He loved me and gave himself for me. It's going to be all right. You can face the toughness of life. You can face the ruts and all else and still serve God if you know that Christ loved you and died for you, gave himself for you. Amen. Yes, the going is not always easy. We have all kinds of things wrong. I read about myself the other day in the Bible. I didn't know I was in there so personally, but I ran across those words, ancient things. Ancient things. And I said, that's what I am. But I'm glad I'm in His Word. But you, age begins to creep up on you. You can't do as you once did. And along with age comes various health problems. Friend, you ought to be up shouting if you're here tonight in my age, and if you don't have aches and pains, and if you're not swallowing medicine every time you turn around, you ought to be praising God. Amen. And glorifying Him. I've learned just in the last couple of years, and this is not in any way jesting, but I've learned when I first get up in the morning, just to thank God for letting me wake up to another day. Now, if I died in my sleep, I know where I would be. But you know, we all have somewhat of an aversion to death, so we want to stay as long as we can. And I thank Him because I realize that along with that medicine and all of those health problems, it's God who is our life and keeping us alive. And I bless His name. But listen, a powerful propellant. And if that won't move you, I can't. And no one else can. I spoke last night, and I'm about done, but I spoke last night on it was getting harder to get people to serve the Lord. Beg for workers in Bible school, beg for Sunday school teachers. I'm not in the begging business. I'll rearrange Sunday school before I'll beg them. You say, you're mean, I guess. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. No, no, no. Listen, if Christ, having loved you and gave Himself for you, if that doesn't move you to serve Him, I don't know what will. And we all should love Him like that, shouldn't we? Because we are saved. But then it's a praising propellant, and I'm done. This is the Christian song exclusively. We didn't borrow this. We didn't get this tune from some religious outfit. This is our song, and ours exclusively. He loved me and gave Himself for me. If you'll read the book of the Revelation just right, you'll see that they're singing that over on the other side. Who shed His blood, who saved us, who redeemed us out of every tribe and every nation. Oh yes, who loved me. So, it's not only our song exclusively, it's our song eternally. If you're tired of it now, what are you going to do when you get over there? Huh? What will you do then, Brother Tony?